Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And it...
Alrighty, welcome one, welcome all, and this is the administration we're dealing with. Again, I want you to listen to this educated synopsis of what is happening in Ukraine by our unequaled, I mean intelligent, Rhodes professor, Rhodes scholar, Kamala Harris. Listen to this.
So, Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong. Mm-hmm.
And I love how the podcast host, when she said, and basically, well, that's wrong, he's like, mm-hmm. Like he's acknowledging that intelligent statement she just uttered from her jowls. She was on the Morning Hustle radio program. I think I called it a podcast, but it's a radio program. But regardless, she was asked by the co-host, Headcrack. Yes, the radio co-host's name is Headcrack. So me using my real name, I am way out of touch with this whole radio podcasting thing. I'm looking for suggestions now. Anybody has a suggestion for my new name to give you on this show, I'm all for it. I've thought of butt scratcher, nipple nose, you know, something to that effect to just draw attention to me. Because obviously I don't have the pull that Headcrack does. But he's listening to this. And he simply asked her, in layman's terms, for people who don't understand what's going on, how can this directly affect the people of the United States? And you know what? I guess Kamala Harris took that verbatim when he said in layman's terms. Because, you know, people are saying, oh, come on, she just dumbed it down for the people. Dumbed it down? How dumb does she think we are? I mean, literally, she just gave a basic first grade geography example. Russia is in Europe. It's a big country. And next to it is Ukraine, and it's a smaller country. And Russia invaded Ukraine, and well, basically, that was wrong. I mean, literally, go to any elementary school, and they are teaching more intelligent things than what our vice president said. So here's where we stand in America. This is our vice president, who obviously has no clue as to what is going on the world stage. When asked, how does the Russian-Ukrainian conflict affect the United States and the people of the United States? People are listening thinking, okay, the vice president's going to tell us something very intelligent and tell us how this affects us. And then we get a basic geography lesson. So we have that, and then we have Joe Biden who can't complete a sentence. without screwing up unless he has a teleprompter and somebody in his ear. This is where we are in America. This is why Russia invaded Ukraine. This is why the North Koreans are sending ballistic missiles all around the area, and why China is going to invade Taiwan. Because this is our administration. It is weak, it is feckless, and it has no respect on the world stage. God, how I would love to have mean tweets and bad orange man back in the office. Because we would at least be respected on the world stage. Do you think Vladimir Putin would have done this when Trump is in office? I guarantee you he wouldn't. So for all of you Biden voters, look at what you have created. You have an administration of a president who has no idea what he's doing 90% of the day. You have a vice president who is completely out of touch and over her head. And then you have the Speaker of the House who stands up in the middle of a freaking State of the Union address and does this stupid little dance. Did anybody see that? Nancy Pelosi is just doing a little jig, doing a little woohoo. What the hell was that? How many did she have before the State of the Union? Seriously. Because I didn't watch much of it because I couldn't handle it. I literally could not handle the State of the Union because, and I get it, I do. Any party that's in power is going to look at what they've accomplished and kind of fabricate it. But honestly, what can you look at in this administration over the first year? What can you look at that they've accomplished? What can you look at and say, yeah, that was a good thing? We've got unemployment through the roof. You know, they can tell you that they've created so many more jobs. No, it's not created, it's regained those jobs. Those jobs were lost when the Democratic governors of this country shut the whole state down. And now they're starting to come back. People are starting to become less and less worried about COVID because apparently, and thank God the Russians invaded the Ukraine because COVID's gone. The Russians obliterated COVID. How often are you seeing anything on COVID right now? Very few and far between. Why? Because Russia eliminated it. Because it's, okay, that's done. Let's go to the next distraction. And before I go any farther, no, I don't thank God Russia invaded Ukraine. I think it's horrible. We will talk about that in the next segment. But honestly, if this didn't prove to you that COVID was all a political in a government, it was like an experiment. This should prove it to you because all it took was Russia going into Ukraine and you never hear about COVID again. Except there's a stealth Omicron variant out there. And I guess my question is, okay, well, let me back up here. It is the Omicron BA2, I believe it is. Hold on just one second. Let me check that. Yes, Omicron BA2, otherwise known as the stealth Omicron because it doesn't appear in testing all the time. Well, here's my question. If it doesn't appear in testing, how do you know it's there? How do you know there's a variant? Well, we see it in some patients. Okay, then it's in those patients. Now we're going to start the game of, well, we didn't find the Omicron variant in that patient. It must be stealthy. So now we've got, you know, a cloak of invisibility. I mean, this is one hell of a virus. It now is invisible in some people, most people, I guess. And we don't know we have it. And the doctors and the hospitals can't tell us we have it because it evades detection because it's stealthy. So if you can't see anything, let's talk Occam's razor here. If you can't see something and can't verify it's there, is it really there? The answer is no. See, you can make it up. You can say, I can't tell you that there's a virus. I don't see it. The symptoms aren't there. You don't have any signs of the virus there. But you've got Omicron. You've got COVID because it's stealthy. I'm not playing this game. I'm done playing this game. If the virus is there, it's there. There's no stealthy virus. Because if it's not there, you can't see it. It doesn't mean that it's there. It's not there. You don't have it. Occam's razor. I've talked about Occam's razor before. It's the theory that states that the simplest explanation is usually the best one. So we're listening to all these doctors and all these people come out and say, oh, well, yeah, we can't find COVID in this person, but they obviously have it. And that's because the variant is stealthy. We can't detect the variant. Well, if you can't find it, then it's not there. As I said, I'm done playing the game. The world is done playing the game, except I guess here in the United States and Canada. But we're done. And I think the rest of the world is done too, because you're seeing COVID just dropping off the map. Because everybody, all they want to talk about is Russia, 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 Ukraine, Russia, Russia, Ukraine. Ukraine, Belarus, Russia, Ukraine. That's what you see on the news. Oh, wait, unless you're watching CNN, then Trump, 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 Trump. I mean, honestly, the guy's been out of office a year. Why are they still fixated? Now, the January 6th committee has said, oh, we believe that Trump and his cohorts are responsible for committing crimes. And honestly, does anybody believe that? Does anyone actually believe the January 6th committee? No, they're not partisan at all, are they? They have Liz Cheney on there, who's a devout Republican, conservative to the core. No, no. This is a political hit piece, and anybody who believes this obviously believes in the Russian dossier. That has been proven to be false 10 times over, but people still believe it, like CNN, who continue to narrate on it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you are still fixated with Trump, you have Trump derangement syndrome. He's been gone a year. And if he's still in your head, then you have issues. I often think of what this country could be if our media would focus on the task at hand. Like the ineptness of this administration, rather than focusing on Trump, a man who has been out of office a year, and they're continuing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's the January 6th committee, some federal liberal judge in New York saying, oh, you got to give over your taxes. Oh, you got to testify on this. It's breaking news on the mainstream media. Oh, by the way, yeah, there's a war going in Russia. We don't care. But Trump, look at what's happening to Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, they are throwing you a meatball. They're throwing a lob fastball right over the middle of the plate in front of you, telling you that they are terrified of Trump. They are terrified of him running for president again because they know there's nobody on the Democrats that can beat him. Nobody. And so they're going to smear him. They are terrified of him. And if they are terrified of him, what does that tell you? Oh, he might be good for the country. I mean, if it hasn't been proven to you that Trump's term was such a grace of God to this country, as opposed to Joe Biden's term, you're blind. And I get it. There are people out there that no matter what this idiot and his administration do to destroy this country, they're going to follow it. I hear from them every single day. And it just blows my mind how stupid and how blind some people can be. Do you realize how easy it's going to be to take back this country? Just tell people stop listening to CNN. Stop listening to MSNBC and the ABC channels. And just do your own research. Stop listening to Biden. Stop listening to Fauci. And listen to what and realize. And look at what is going on around you and critically think. That's all it takes. And stop the indoctrination. Oh, man, that's a long list. Stop the indoctrination in our schools. Stop the school boards. Know who you're voting for on the school boards. Yeah, it's going to take some work, everybody. But you know what? We can do it. We can make this happen. We just have to stand up. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, apparently the insect world is upset. and I'll talk about the Russian invasion. You're listening to the Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back. You can call me a bastard if you like. I'll be locking up my door, and you can't walk inside this time. I'll be putting on my wall paint. I have a will to stay alive, and now I'll be taking my leave. I will not lose more sleep tonight.
The stuff of nightmares.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crime. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, so apparently the insect world has been looking at all the Karens and all the Kens in the world and seeing how they're offended, and they had to get in the game because apparently these insects have been talking to the Entomological Society of America. And on Wednesday, the Entomological Society of America decided that the gypsy moth will no longer be called the gypsy moth. It's going to be called the spongy moth because gypsy is an offensive term. So apparently the gypsy moth climbed all the way to the Entomological Society of America and complained that I'm offended to be called a gypsy moth. And the Entomological Society of America, being as woke as they are, decided, you know what? That is offensive. Let's change your name to the spongy moth. And I'm reading this article, and again, it's from MLive, who I only subscribe to on Facebook because I love their articles because they're so one-sided, and I love reading the comments because, honestly, if you want to see a snapshot of America, go to your local news sources. When they display and they post these articles about how great Biden's doing, Read the responses. People are fed up with these news organizations. This MLive organization that I read all the time when they post stuff on Facebook, they're promoting here's a $1 a month for 12 months to get MLive. People are responding, no, you should pay me. You're a state-run government or a government state-run organization. You are not news. You're propaganda. It is amazing what these people are saying about these local news channels. Go to your local news channel and see what people are saying about them. But I'm reading this article from MLive, and it says the Entomological Society of America announced the new name on Wednesday. Now, these moths first appeared in Michigan in the 1950s, but major outbreaks began to happen in the mid-1980s. And here's where it gets good, because they're trying to make it seem like these gypsy moths, they're horrible. But we're going to soften their name because gypsies are offended, apparently. You got to hear the comment I'm going to talk to you about here in a second. But they go on to say, while larvae, the caterpillars are known to cover tree trunks and during heavy outbreaks, even climb across outdoor decks and the sides of homes in large, writhing masses. In other words, oh my God, nature's being nature. So we're going to change the name. It's not going to be a gypsy moth. It'll be a spongy moth. So therefore, they're not as much of a nuisance. This is the logic we're dealing with here. Change the name. It's not as much of a problem. Well, here is one comment that I got on this MLive page that I couldn't. I just looked at this and I'm like, am I reading this right? The comment was, as a gypsy, I have been offended by the name gypsy moth for years now. I am at peace knowing that the gypsy moth is no longer a gypsy moth, but a spongy moth. And I thought to myself, my God, if you are offended by the name of a moth, how do you get through life? How do you get up every day and function? And then I thought, okay, this has got to be a joke. There's no way this person is serious. And then I read the rebuttals to her comment, and she was downright serious. She claims to be a gypsy, and she was absolutely 100% offended by the name gypsy moth. Seriously, how do you go through life being offended by the name gypsy moth, where that takes up that portion of your life where you have to comment, I am so happy that it's now called a spongy moth. Are you kidding me right now? Is this what your life revolves around? Is finding, and this is what the Democrats do. They find things that offend them, and they go about their life trying to change it. Because if you change the name of the gypsy moth into the spongy moth, well, then it's not offensive, and it may not do as much damage. Again, this is what we are dealing with on a daily basis here and across the world. The Karens, the Kens of the world, they want to change the world, and it's only their way. They're offended by everything. And if you are not offended by it, then you are wrong, and they're going to make it a point to tell you they're wrong. And they're going to scream louder than you. And they're going to rant, and they're going to rave. And then a gypsy moth is all of a sudden a spongy moth. That's how it goes. That's how we lose our country, ladies and gentlemen, by letting these liberal, tree-hugging, self-righteous lunatics have their say. Listen, I don't care if you are a Karen, if you are a Ken, and you're offended by the term gypsy moth. But what we don't seem to realize is they are the fringe, and I'm going to use a Justin Trudeau terminology here, they're the fringe minority. They are so far off of the grid as to the majority of Americans and the majority of the people around the world, but you know what? They get all the news, and they get the shit happening for them for one reason. They yell the loudest. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I've said it a million times, and I'll continue to say it. Conservatives, we don't want to rock the boat. We just want to just sit back and enjoy our lives and let government stay out of it and let people stay out of it. Well, that time is gone. We have to get involved. We have to get involved in what is going on in our lives. We have to get involved in who we are putting in any type of governmental position. Because right now, it's the Karens, the Kens, the people that are changing the name of the gypsy moth to the spongy moth. And they're making news. And listen, it starts with a gypsy moth going to a spongy moth. And then it goes into your children's schooling. And then it goes into your workplace. And then it goes into your private life. It's a never-ending cycle if we don't let it go. We as conservatives have got to find the time. I understand conservatives. Most conservatives are hardworking individuals as opposed to most liberals. But we have to find the time to stand up. If we do not find the time to stand up and make our voice heard, we've lost. There is no way of coming back from this. It is now time. Any listener of this show, you have to make your voice heard. And you have to tell your friends, your family, anyone who is a conservative, you need to tell them you need to stand up. You need to make your voice heard. That's the only way we are going to take back this country. Because the Democrats, they've got a lock, stock, and barrel patent on how to make noise, essentially, and how to make things happen. We as conservatives, we just want to be left alone. Those days are done. They're absolutely done. And before we go to break, I received a message from one of my good friends here. His name is Rick. And he sent me a message, or he sent me on Messenger a video, I should say, a video on Messenger from a good old boy. This man is talking about raising your child as a conservative or raising your child as a socialist. And he breaks it down. He has a pasture. He grows hay. He harvests that hay and gives it to his neighbor who has cows. Well, the cows are essentially the Democrats. And I want you to listen to what he says because it makes complete and utter sense. And I say utter tongue-in-cheek. But listen to this, because this guy, he gets it. And the rest of us listening to this who have kids, we need to get it. Listen to this.
As a child, you're raised up to something I like to call feed trough logic. Well, growing up through the years up until you're 18 years old, it's your parents' job to separate you from that logic. Me and this here 5-gallon bucket's going to teach you something. See this here pasture? Well, this is one of my many pastures. This is mine. I grow hay off of it, and I bale the hay, and then I sell it to other ranchers that's got cows. This is my next-door neighbor's pasture. Well, he's got cows. Even though there ain't feed in here, it's just rocks, I can shake this bucket of feed, make all these cows come up. And they come running like morons to nothing but a bucket of rocks. If you ain't raised worth a shit, well, you'll likely vote Democrat, because you'll be just like them cows out there, always looking for somebody with a free bucket of feed. If you're raised right, you'll likely vote Republican, because you'll know damn well ain't nothing comes for free, and that damn bucket will end up leading you to a slaughterhouse.
Does he not nail it? Does he not, in very simplistic terms, just state the differences between conservatism and socialism? Socialism, it doesn't matter. There's a bucket there. Something's free. And conservatives realize nothing's free. You have to work for what you have. Eventually, the money is going to run out. Conservatives, they understand that, and they work hard. And they're chastised for working hard in this day and age, because God forbid you make money and you do well in this day and age. You work your behind off, and you don't have to worry about bills, because you've done what you've needed to do to make that money. Well, that's bad. That's bad in this day and age. That is a sin. You should be struggling just like me, I guess. I mean, that's how the socialists and the Democrats think. Listen, I'm struggling. I don't have a job. I don't have a life. I don't have any intentions of getting a job. I'm living off a government paycheck. And here's this guy who has decided to work for a living. Well, I don't think that's fair. What have you done to better yourself? Ask yourself that. Are you learning a trade? Are you going to college? Or are you just sitting back, eating Twinkies and Ho-Hos, and collecting government money? Because if you are the latter, you have nothing to complain about. Because the people on government assistance, I'm telling you, have a better life than those of us that are working our ass off. if you are working your ass off in literally living paycheck to paycheck, with which nowadays I am, with the cost of groceries, the cost of energy, the cost of fuel, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. And I know a lot of us that were not living paycheck to paycheck under Trump are now doing so. What's the common denominator? I was living paycheck to paycheck under Obama. I lost that under Trump. And now Biden takes control, and I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay my bills the next month, because I don't know where my next just exorbitant bill is coming from. It infuriates me. I had a daughter who was deathly sick with COVID. She had to get the antibody treatment to recover from it, and she did. It's a great treatment. I'm now stuck with an $800 bill, whilst people who just have no concept of a work ethic, they don't want to work. They're just going to live off the government dime. They're going to live off of government health care. They get it for free. Why do I, who bust my ass every single day, you who bust your behinds every single day, the ones who are working and trying to do better are the ones that are getting crapped on left and right. That has got to change. Absolutely got. That's got to change. But until we decide that we've had enough, and I can't believe that more conservatives have not decided that, it's not going to change. Because right now, the Democrats think, well, we have a mandate. They brought in Joe Biden. 81 million votes for Joe Biden. That's a mandate. No. A, you didn't get 81 million votes. And B, that's not a mandate. But because Joe Biden's in there, and because they control the House and they control the Senate, essentially, they can do anything they want. And they're turning this country into a shithole. A third world country. Apologize for my language, but I've had enough. You know, over the last week, week and a half, however long this Ukrainian invasion has been going on, I've looked at the Ukrainian people, and the citizens are taking up arms. I often think to myself, how many of us would do that? How many of us would grab a gun and defend our country? Or would we just bow to our conquerors? At this point, I don't know. And that's scary. You know, I remember growing up, the United States, nobody would mess with us. They were afraid of us. And now, we're the laughingstock of the planet, because we have Joe Biden as our president, who is an obvious mental declination. And the second in charge is Kamala Harris, who, rather than explain how the Ukrainian invasion affects the United States of American people, the American people, how it affects the American people, rather than explain how it affects the American people, she wants to give a geography lesson. She wants to tell us that, well, that's wrong that Russia, who's a bigger country and more powerful, invaded Ukraine. This is where we're at, people. If we don't stand up, and we don't make our voice heard. I mean, right now, across this country, the Americans have a freedom convoy going to Washington. You are not going to see this on the news, but it is a huge convoy. Now, you see the government in Washington erecting fences around the Capitol. We're going to erect fences around the Capitol, but leave the southern border wide open. Where are the priorities? These truckers are not here to cause violence. They're not here to spread disease. They're here to protest peacefully these COVID mandates. But this administration, this Democratic Party, thinks they, the truckers, just like in Canada, Justin Trudeau, the truckers are the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, the truckers are you and I. You and I are in a fight against our government. We're going to talk in the next segment about the Russian invasion, and it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible, more horrible than I ever thought it would be. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back. And remember, sit back, relax, open that mind, because I'm coming at you hard and I'm coming at you fast next time, the next segment.
Hello, and welcome to the Ohio Hauntings and Legends podcast. We will be taking you to places you have never dreamt of going. Hundreds, if not thousands, of haunted and abandoned locations. We will visit with the paranormal from your nightmares and try to understand the unexplained. Ohio alone has 88 counties within our state, and virtually each one of those counties has a story to tell. Ohio's history is bloodstained throughout its history. We will be covering more than just Ohio. We will cover the state you live in, the country. Trust me. There are thrills, chills, and we are upping the fright factor with each new stop we make. We will be traveling the world, the globe, looking for the strange, the mysterious, and the frightening. Mostly, we will find the unexplainable. Many of these episodes are genuine. Others are legend or hearsay. Believe those that you choose, or believe in none. It is your choice. Just get comfortable, sit back, dim the lights, and listen.
Alrighty, before we go into the next segment, I want to reiterate to you, contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. You can use that email address to tell me what you want to hear on the show. Tell me about a personal experience you have had. If you have a book, a promotion, or anything you want to promote on this show, I will do it for free for you. All you have to do is contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net.
We're in a room that's filled with thousands of glass figurines across the floor. If we break one...
Okay, I'm going to talk real quick about this Russian invasion because I am absolutely appalled, absolutely flabbergasted. Yeah, I use that word. Flabbergasted at the ferocity and the... I don't even know what the word is, but Vladimir Putin's troops, A, they don't want to fight. They're punching holes in their gas tanks, or their tanks, their APCs, anything that's transporting them. They're punching holes in them so they don't have to go into Ukraine. But the ones that are going into Ukraine at this point are targeting civilians. My whole reality, to be honest with you, is upside down. I didn't think Putin would go in. I was proved wrong. And then I thought, okay, he's just going to go in, take a couple port cities, because they don't have a warm weather port. And I think that's what Putin wants. He wants that warm weather port so he can use his navy out of that warm weather port. Well, now, I don't know. I think Putin right now, and I'm not a Putin sympathizer. Don't get me wrong. I do agree with a lot of what he says. You know, when he said, hey, you can come to this country, but you are not going to change our culture. You're not going to change our religion. We're not going to change the way we are for you. I 100% agree with that. But I think this whole invasion, he thought that he was just going to walk into Ukraine and the Ukrainians were going to be like, okay, we give up. Take us over. I don't think he anticipated the resistance and the fortitude of the Ukrainians. And I get on social media a lot because social media is as evil as it is. It is an eye to the mind of the general population. And I read what some of these people, and granted, you're only reading from what your essential friends say. But I've heard, you know, hey, this is a false flag operation. This really isn't happening. All this footage that you're seeing of the overview of the battlefield, that's video game footage. It's not. I'm going to tell you, it's not. Russia is invading Ukraine. And as every day passes, I'm getting very concerned that this may escalate even more. I see Putin, who thought he would have an easy go of it, realizing there's much more resistance than we anticipated. And when he realizes that, he becomes much more desperate. So not only is he attacking a 40-mile convoy of tanks, my God. I've seen the memes. You've seen the memes. If you were an A-10 Warthog pilot, oh my God, you were salivating. A 40-mile convoy of tanks. Putin, I think at this point, is becoming desperate. He attacked the largest nuclear reactor in Ukraine, and it was on fire. It was destroyed from what I've heard, it's been destroyed and it was on fire. There was grave concern that it was going to be another Chernobyl or another Fukushima. As of now, it hasn't, but this is as desperate as he's gotten. I see him looking at the battlefield and saying, we are nowhere near where we need to be. So we need to change tactics. We're going after their nuclear, their power, but more importantly, he's now targeting civilians. And that's not cool. That's where I draw the line. War sucks. Because war is you fighting for your government. And you may or may not believe in that government. Right now, as an American soldier, would you feel right fighting against the Russians? Yes, you're fighting a noble cause. You're helping the Ukrainians. But at this point, I don't think any American life should be lost. As for the Ukrainians, my God, as I mentioned before, I've thought long and hard, would we do this? Would we stand up and fight for our country? Let's be honest, where would we go? If the fight was brought to the American soil, where would we go? Because literally, we only have two choices. We have Canada, they're more oppressive than we are. Or we have Mexico. I love Mexico. I'm going there in April, hopefully. And I mean, is it safe? They're trying to get in here in a time of war. We're going to try and get in there. And then you have the pundits, and I say that in parentheses, the pundits, telling us that this is proven that the Russian military is nothing to worry about. Well, here's the news flash. Russia, Iran, North Korea, they are essentially an alliance, and I called them the Axis last week. I'm going to call them the Axis this week. So you're not just dealing with Russia. You're dealing with China. You're dealing with North Korea. You're dealing with Iran. Every single one of them has nuclear weapons right now. At this point, every single one of those countries is not afraid to use them. Do you really think that the president we need right now is Joe Biden? This world is right on the precipice, right on the edge of war. You've got Russia invading Ukraine, possibly invading Moldova, and who knows where they go from there. You've got China, who is looking to invade Taiwan, and then you've got North Korea just lobbing missiles throughout the whole region. Is this the president you want at this time? Someone who can't even remember where he is, where he's supposed to go, unless he's got an earpiece in and a teleprompter in front of him. I blame these so-called 81 million of you, and I say that with such sarcasm, that voted for this guy. You have put this country in jeopardy. And a lot of you are standing by this guy because I voted for him. He's gonna make it right. If the first year was any indication, you are completely wrong. It's not wrong to admit that you're wrong, that to admit that you made the wrong choice. You make up for it this November. You vote Republican. Because listen, both parties have their faults. Both parties are in it for themselves. But the difference is, you vote Republican, and they will make you safer, they will lower your taxes, and they will create more jobs. And literally, isn't that what we want from the ruling party? The ruling party should not be fixated on the former president. The ruling party should be fixated on what's going on now. How to fix what's going on now. Because there's a lot of fixing to do. We are at the tipping point, and we need to do something. And I'm not talking about us listening to this show. We need to spread the word. So if you're listening to this show, spread the word, share the show, get a movement started. Sean Ryan in Wisconsin got a movement started. We can do it. It just takes an individual that loves his country and wants to see what, or wants the best for his children and his grandchildren, or his or her grandchildren. That's what it's going to take. We need to sacrifice ourselves to make sure our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren and beyond are able to live free as we did, so that we are not looked at as crazy when the kids, our grandkids, are sitting on our lap and we're telling them, oh yeah, when I grew up, we could go to the mall, we could do this, I could be anything I wanted. And our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren are going to look at us as, hey, Grandpa Tom, he's senile, Dad. Stop the socialism in this country now. Stand up, make your voice heard. If you want to make your voice heard, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Because you know what? The world's going down. The bumper music is going to be multiple myself and Tommy V when the world goes down. The world is going down. We need to stop it from going down. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to update you on two of my listeners, James and Karen in New Zealand. We'll be right back.
Hello, goodbye, I'm done with y'all. Can't tell anybody how you really feel. I'm going to shatter your world right now. I'm going to blow your mind.
You got your own views and you're gonna take them for them. We've been trained to hate one another. Mindless drones, man, do what you want. Trading ourselves for civil war. Fighting those we love, but we don't love anymore. Has it all come down to this? Watching loved ones die as we plan to do this kiss? Where you gonna be when the world goes down? Where you gonna be when the world goes down?
This is Hardy Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
When you walk outside, take a look to the sky. You see those bright, shining lights? You see them, but do you really know why? The things we do almost every single night. See a million points of light, what an awesome sight. But we take them for granted, cause they've always been there. Do you understand the meaning? Do you even care? The lights in the sky, well, they just didn't happen. It's time you learned a thing or two, you better strap in. Galaxies, suns, planets, and clusters. They can't be reached with today's thrusters. The universe, it is calling to you.
Okay, so over the last couple weeks, I've been introducing you, one of them you might have known, Karen from New Zealand, but I've introduced you to James. I'm going to start this last segment with Karen in New Zealand because she sent me an email, and she sounds kind of distraught. She says, I'm writing you with a very heavy heart. After celebrating last week that the police won back their rights not to be jabbed, they turned on their own people. Yesterday will go down as the worst day in history, the day the New Zealand government is full of shame, the day the police turned on the people. I have never seen so much police brutality in my life. I've seen police smash a woman with a shield for nothing, sending her to the ground. Police punching a man on the ground and putting the boot in many times. Police gathered around so no one could get this on camera. My heart breaks. Fire. Police kicked over a generator into a tent and it caught on fire and went on to the other tents. If things weren't bad enough, Antifa showed up. I didn't even know Antifa was in New Zealand. But Antifa showed up. Didn't think we had such a thing. Apparently Karen didn't either. Most had face coverings. They were throwing things on the fires, also lighting some as well. Antifa were throwing blocks of wood at the police, which just turned it up. A lot of what happened your way. They have forced our people out of the capital area. They used pepper spray on many people. Thankfully, people were a bit prepared and had milk on hand to wash their eyes out and stop the stinging. Have also been told tear gas was used and rubber bullets, but cannot confirm. I am so sad for our beautiful country. Many tears, regards, Karen. Here is the problem. It doesn't matter what country you are listening to my voice in. We have military members, we have police officers, men and women, who don't look at it as this is their right to protest. This is their right to talk out or talk against the government. They are taking orders and they're using that line. And it's the same line that the Germans used in the Nuremberg trials. We were just following orders. These are the same orders that the police are using as they beat citizens, as they trample on citizens, as they arrest citizens for peacefully protesting against their government. This is what we are going to be up against, and I want you to know this. You may have a best friend that's a cop. You may have a best friend that's in the military. But when push comes to shove, when the government says you will fire on that American citizen because they are against us, they are protesting against us, they're following orders. That's what these police officers are doing in New Zealand. Any And I know I have a ton of first responders, military personnel that are listening to this show. I want you to know, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. If you think I shouldn't be firing on American or Canadian or English or whoever citizens, then don't do it. I honestly don't know what's going to happen in this country. I think we are hellbent and we are on a direct course for civil war, because the right and the left are so divided and the media is so dividing us that I don't see any way out of this other than civil war. These military members, these police officers, these first responders have to look at it as, am I on the right side of history here? If I go and I start gunning down Americans who are just wanting freedom from their government, am I on the right side of history? And I'm going to tell you, you're not. If you think I'm just following orders, and this goes to the Canadian police officers that were beating the members of the Freedom Convoy, the New Zealand officers that are beating the protesters who are protesting peacefully, you have to ask yourself, am I really doing the right thing? Because listen, you don't have to do it. You don't have to follow orders. Your mission is to protect your homeland. And the homeland isn't the government. It's the people. The people are your homeland. Protect them. Don't protect the government. The government's out for more control and more power. And when they get that, you're expendable. Remember that. You are as expendable as your last mission. That last mission could have killed the father of three young kids. Could have killed the mother of an unborn child. Because you were following orders. Your orders are to protect this country. And if the government turns out to be the enemy, you protect it from the government. Alrighty, lastly, you've heard about James. James's fiance, Sandy, she got the vaccine and has nothing but problems with it. I'm not going to get into the first part of the email because it's a little personal, but I want to give you an update on Sandy. I've had a couple people email me and said, hey, what's going on with Sandy? Have you heard anything? So here's the update on Sandy. According to James, Sandy is in a rehab nursing center 15 minutes away. She is dealing with depression, and understandable. She got a vaccine that was told to her. It's safe. It's effective. And obviously it wasn't. I can understand her depression. James, I understand her depression. She's dealing with depression, so I'm trying to find resources with disability while trying to get as much work in overtime as I can get. It's very stressful. She essentially has had her, I believe it's, her, what? Let me see here, essentially, I think it's her right leg below the knee, James. Correct me if I'm wrong here. She had to have that amputated. The fact that she's had these major surgeries because of this vaccine, and now she can't work. He's having to work many hours overtime. She's in a rehab facility. I am going to start, and I'm going to post it on the Paranormal Patriot page and my own page for those of you who follow both pages. I'm not going to use GoFundMe because after the Canadian Freedom Convoy, after GoFundMe decided, no, we're not going to fund that. I've lost all respect for them because they're a liberal organization. They're a socialist organization. They're going to follow the guidelines of the government. I think it's called Fundly. I'm not sure right now. I'm doing a lot of research. I contacted James. I'm hoping he is okay with me starting essentially a fund to help them pay for their bills because Sandy is in a rehab clinic and we don't know when she's getting out. She has no income. She has no disability. And this has all been caused by the vaccine. So if you have not liked the Paranormal Patriot page on Facebook, please do so. If you have not liked Tom Velasquez on Facebook, please do so because I'm going to post. As long as James is okay with it, I want to do something to help him. I want to make the fact that his fiance has been, her life has completely changed because of this vaccine. I want the world to know, and I'm willing and I'm able to make that happen. So stay tuned. If you haven't liked the Facebook page, the Paranormal Patriot, if you haven't liked my personal page, Tom Velasquez, do so. Because your information where you can donate to help James in his financial troubles caused by this vaccine, it's going to be on there. All I'm waiting for is James' approval. And James is he's a proud man. He really doesn't want help, but he needs it. And let's be honest, I know there's a lot of us listening to this show that have had the vaccine, either because we thought it was the best course of action or our job mandated it. And I'm not looking down on you, but we don't know what the long-term side effects are. So you may be in the position that James is in. And if, God forbid, that were to actually happen, I will help you like I'm trying to help James. So if you haven't liked the Paranormal Patriot page or my personal page, Tom Velasquez, I'm going to post it everywhere as long as James is okay with it. I want to help him out. I am so infuriated that his fiance has had to go through this that I want to help him out more than you will ever know. Alrighty. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. We'll be back next week. Sit back, relax, and open that mind.
It's
goodbye.
7:30 in the morning. I just gotta get out of bed. It feels like I just fell asleep because my eyes are burning red. The boss is blowing up my phone. He's wondering where I am at, but I just can't get out of bed. I'm feeling lazy and I'm fat. I probably stayed up way too late, and that's why I just wanna sleep, but I gotta get out. Maybe I'll just take 5 more minutes and fall back asleep.